live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Well, I just want to start by saying, generally, if Pastor Rob has me get up, it's because I've had some dream or vision or something. I don't know. It's usually something like that. And, unless he wants me to do something else. But this time he's asked me to come up because I had a dream in 2012. And this dream kind of turned into a conversation that I would have with him, as with the Lord, as I would inventory equipment at work. I work for an internet company, and I lift like satellite dishes and little internet components and blah blah blah. Half the stuff I don't even know what it is or what it does. And so it's easy to, you know, talk with Jesus because, you know, I'm lifting and putting in numbers of stuff that I don't know what it is. So it's easy to concentrate on God because I don't really know what I'm doing in the physical. So it's pretty simple. So simple and fun. So I get a lot of time to just listen to God and whatever he wants to do and say. So I want to start today by just talking about just the nature of prophecy and something that we all have to understand, that whenever someone gives a prophetic word, you know, somebody will come up, grab the mic and say, I hear the Lord saying this, or I see the Lord saying that. One element that we have to understand about that is that prophecy is conditional. And what that means is that we as people can get in the way and block what God wants to do in the earth or in that particular situation. It's really important for us to understand that. I could stand up here, you know, 7 days a week and say, God says this, God says that, God says this. But if we as people don't get on board and get in line with what he says, we can jack it all up. Mess it all up. I have to not use Black English vernacular. We can really mess up what he's trying to do. And so what he's saying that that if and when we get his attitude, when we get in line with what he wants to do, he will move for us. It's not that he can move, because God can do whatever he wants. He's strong, big, mighty. There's absolutely nothing that he can't do. But, you know, he put us here, and he wants to see, do you really want it? Do you want me to move? Do you want what I have for you? And we have to show him, yes, God, I want you to do whatever you want. And so in order for us to all experience what he has for us, we need to line up and do what he's saying, when he says to do it, and how he says to do it. And how is really important. If you don't know what God is telling, if you hear a prophetic word and you don't know, okay, well, how am I supposed to do this? Seek wisdom. Open the Bible. Talk to a brother and sister in the Lord. Set a meeting with Pastor Rob. Talk with somebody. God, he wants us to understand. Not everything that he has for us is a complete and total mystery. He wants to reveal himself to his people. That's why he made us. He likes to do that. Now, I don't want to go too deep into my last message, okay, because, you know, I tell you, you call yourself reviewing, and then basically you wind up just preaching what you said before. So I'm not going to do that. Hear that? I'm not going to do that, Ivy. I am not going to go too deep into what I said before. But the Lord just wants to continue to build upon the points that he mentioned earlier. Now, the message, the first message, I don't know, I think I did it in May or something this year. It's on the podcast. Oh, and you know what? Everybody, let's just wave at Mr. Chris back there, because Mr. Chris does our podcast. You are so awesome. I listen to the podcast every Monday. Every Monday. And look, it's you when you listen to it, you feel like you're in the service. Because there's ambient noise and everything. Look, baby's going, yes, you're right, sweetheart. So listen to the podcast. It's fantastic. It's a wonderful ministry. Thank you, Brother Chris. You're super duper awesome. So with that being said, let's remember that the name Bethel comes from from two Hebrew words, Beth and El. Those are two separate words. The word Beth means house, and El means God. So Bethel means house of God. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, and I'm going to start reading at verse 10. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Hallelujah. When Jacob awoke from sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. This is the vision of Jacob seeing the stairway to heaven. And in this vision, he saw angels climbing up and down this ladder where the top reached heaven and the bottom touched the earth. And what the Lord just wants to get us a deeper understanding of how this vision that Jacob saw is a type and shadow of what's going on here with us today in Bethel, in Tupper's Plains. Amen. Also, I may just start, because as I was writing this message, I just started seeing the faces of some people, so I just may start prophesying. I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be fun. Whatever we're going to do, whatever God wants to do, it's going to be fun. It's always great. So we must understand that heaven is always touching earth, meaning that God is always connected to his people and to this world. And one of the gateways that God has chosen is Bethel Worship Center in Tupper's Plains. Oh, I just don't think you're excited enough about that. A gateway to heaven is here at Bethel Worship Center in Tupper's Plains. Oh, that's exciting. That we have been chosen. What an honor. What a privilege. Thank you, Lord God. Angels are going up and down this gateway all the time. Even when we are not recognizing it, even when we don't feel it, it's happening. Amen. Glory to the name of God. We are not alone in this world. We are not alone in this world, no matter what's going on. And look, y'all been watching the news. There's some crazy stuff happening right now. We are not alone. God's arm is not short. Amen. He is with us. He is protecting us. Glory be to the name of God. Glory be to the name of God. Now, in May 2012, while reading the story, God just told me to write down the following points. Bethel is a place where heaven touches the earth. Bethel is a place to hear and receive my promises. And Bethel is a place to dream dreams. And Bethel is a place to rest. And I'm not talking only about Bethel here in Genesis 28. I'm talking about Bethel here in Tupper's Plains. Yay, it's so thrilling. It's so exciting. And it's so hard to not just run all over this place because I get it. I get it. And I understand it. And I love what he's doing. Look, y'all come on with me. I'm going to give you a little picture of what he's doing for us. Now part of the picture is on the podcast from whatever date that was. Chris will tell you. I don't know. But let's continue to talk about the picture of what it is to say that Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. It is not by chance that we are named Bethel. This body of believers is a place where God is moving. Our corporate worship opens the heavenlies. That's why it's so important that we don't just stand still during praise and worship. We're not just doing exercise songs.
Oh, yeah. We're not just exercising. We're doing something. We're just kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit just so we can see, hey, oh, he's doing this right now. Okay. It's important for us to all participate in this activity. And can I say from start to finish? Yeah. Yeah. Because I think we got some focus like, okay, that's two songs. I'm feeling all right. Okay, good. And it's not, the purpose of praise and worship is not only to make us feel good. That's not its only purpose. It does that, but it's not its purpose. We are singing songs to the maker of heaven and earth. Yes, we're telling people about him. We're telling the devil about him. Okay? I know that a lot of people are thinking, well, we don't want to concentrate on the enemy during praise and worship. No, we don't want to concentrate on him. But we do want to say to him, our God has got this, and you're not going to scare me. We do want to say that. Don't you? Don't you want to feel confident about what God is doing and what he has done? It pretty much anything makes me hyper, but it makes me excited. It makes me excited to talk about stuff that he's done. It's absolutely thrilling. God is spectacular. Yes, he is spectacular. So like I said, our corporate worship opens the heavenlies. Now, one of the reasons why we want the heavenlies to be open is because we've got people coming into this church that are in trouble. They need to feel God. They need to experience God. They need things broken on their lives. It's our job to worship and praise the maker of heaven and earth. It's not just about us. It's not just about us. We have a job to do. Amen. Now, you can do this. You can have two attitudes about it. You can do that job of praise and worship because, you know, I'm warring for my family. I'm warring for this community. I'm warring for this nation, for the earth. You can have that attitude. Or you can have this attitude of, I am so in love with you, God. There is no one else for me. Look, they're both good. Pick one and praise him. They're both good. Pick one and praise him. Pick one and worship him. It's our job. It's our mandate. We were put here. We were created to praise and to worship. Now, you got a choice. You got a choice. You can sit and do nothing. But, oh, I encourage you. Do something. Think about somebody else. Think about the one who made you. Think about the one that keeps you. Think about the one that sustains you. Think on him. And I tell you, you won't be able to sit still. Amen. I guarantee it. You won't be able to. Hallelujah. Now, each time that we are together, our desire should be to touch God's heart. And when we do, he'll open the eyes of our heart and give us a glimpse of him. And you know what? We don't have to think about this in like Abraham and Moses did in their day. They thought that if they saw God, they would die. But if we see God, if we get a glimpse of God, if we see a foot, if we see a shadow of him, there's blessings in that. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Sing loud. Sing off key. Just do something. Amen. Amen? Do something for the one who made you. Now, the Father says, don't be ashamed of what I'm doing. Look for something, expect something, and receive what I'm raining down. Our God will show up here every week. It's not about, oh, they sang that song today and the heavens opened up. No, that's not what it is. It's because we all came on one accord and we all wanted the same thing, to touch God's heart. Our God is not rude. He will meet us every time. If we are in praise and worship and we are knocking at the door of his heart, he will open it for us. Our God is a gentleman. He is. He'll do it. He'll meet us every time. Wonderful is our God. Can we just lift our hands for a moment? Wonderful is our God. Wonderful is our Father. Wonderful are you, Maker. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, he told me as I was writing this, he said, bring people that are sick here. Bring them. He said, bring people that are addicted and bring people that are heartbroken. Bring them here. God wants to touch them. And when he does it here, they're not going to think that they're just having a spell. They're not going to think that they ate something good. They're going to know it's him. They're not going to be confused by the enemy, because the enemy is not going to do nothing up in here. Bring those people. Bring the sick. Bring the addicted. Bring the heartbroken, and watch God move in their lives. That is our obligation. That is our job. That is our mandate as worshipers, members of Bethel Worship Center. Bring them here. Trust me, he'll do it. He'll do it. Oh, good Lord. If you've got somebody in your family that has been stuck in something for a long time, bring them here. That's right. Bring them here. And all of us, we will do our job and watch God move. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I have dreamed, and I've seen people who have been addicted for decades, and they are free. They will be free. I saw it happening. Amen. That's what he wants for his people. And he wants to do it here. What an honor. What a privilege that we get to be a part of it. That's awesome. He trusts us. Do you trust him? Amen. He trusts us. Do you trust him? Amen. Glory to God. We must understand. Oh, you know what? Apostle Mark said something last week that I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to say that again. Apostle Mark spoke prophetically to us last week, and he said, Bethel is the strength of God's right hand in this community. Yes, whoa, that's mind-blowing. I'm going to read it again. Bethel is the strength of God's right hand in this community. That's awesome. Now, some people would shrink back from that because that's like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Well, I just don't think we're all that. You know what? I don't want to hear from you. I'm going to be honest. I don't want to hear from you because God said it and I believe it. He said it and I believe it. That's what he has for us. That's who he says that we are. What an honor. What a privilege that he has bestowed upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we understand that, of course, God will come here because he's a gentleman. And it's not because we're special. It's not because we know how to do this right and we have this in place and we're doing this and the praise and worship is off the hook. Because, look, I'm going to tell you right now, it is. And look, you know, that's not bragging on our team, even though I like to brag on our team, because look, we work hard. We work hard at what we do. We rehearse, and shoot, we get here a lot earlier than you guys, so we work hard at what we do. But it's really not about that. It's about all of us coming together and just leaning and pressing and depending upon Jesus. And he said he wanted it. It's really that simple. He said he wanted it, and he's going to do what he wants because he's God. And he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to, however he wants to. He is sovereign, and this is what he's decided. Look, you got to get on board. You got to get on board. Something just keeps ringing in me, ringing. Change or die. Change or die. This is what he wants. Let's get on board with it. Yes, it's a responsibility. Yes, it's a little bit more work. But God, oh my goodness, what a glorious work that it is. Because the person that created us, in everything that we think about God, when we were children, we would, you know, our teachers, our children's church teachers would try to describe God to us. And sometimes my kids will talk to me and they'll say, what do you think God is like? And I'm like, what do you think God is like? What do you think? And we'll talk about it. And then as they start telling me what they think God is like, I'll say, he's even better than that. He's even better than that. So whatever you're thinking, he's 10 times better. He's 1,000 times better. He's 1,000,000,000 times better. That's so exciting. And so this person who's completely awesome, this person who's spectacular and magnificent, has said to us, this is who I've created you to be. And he let us know it. That's awesome. There's so many people in this world who are so lost. They have no idea who they are. They have no identity. God is telling us our identity. What an assurance. What a blessing. We don't have to guess no more. All we got to just do is just remember what he said and live in it and act on it. How fun is that? We're not lost. We're not questioning. We don't have to doubt. He's already said it. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. That's where that hymn comes from. It's fantastic. He's telling us who we are and what we're supposed to do. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when you miss a gathering, when you miss a service, when you miss a life group meeting, you're missing something. I'm not one of those people that say that, you know, and trust me, there are some churches that just kind of crack the whip, and they actually keep attendance of their church members, and they like crack the whip, and if you miss like X amount of services a year, then you're not in right standing with the church. Look, this is not what this is. Pastor Rob is not going around taking attendance. Pastor Rob's not asking where you've been because he's trying to figure out where your money's at. Look, I'm going to be real honest. There are some churches that do that, but that's not what's happening here. We're asking where you are because you're missing something. We're asking where you are because, oh my gosh, this thing happened last week, and oh, I wish you hadn't missed it. We have to get our attendance in check. We have to get our attendance in check. We shouldn't see empty seats. We shouldn't. I'm going to be real honest. Now, if you're going on vacation, glory to God. God has blessed you with money to go on vacation. Otis and I, we're taking our kids to Disney Christmas week. It's going to be fantastic. They are so excited, they can barely breathe. Honestly, I wish that I hadn't told them this soon because they're driving me crazy. I'm just being real with you. They're driving me crazy. But I want to go. We're going to have a great time. But as we're gone, I'm going to be wondering, what am I missing at Bethel? Because God does stuff here. Life changes here. People are healed here. And I want to see it because it's great. That should be our attitude. We should want to come to church because this is God's house. Right? Bethel means house of God. This is his house. We should want to come up here and sit and see what's happening. Look, I'm a little nosy, to be honest. I just want to see everything. I do. And I think being nosy in the spirit is a good thing. Look, God, look. Oh, Lord, look at this person. Do something. Oh, I'm watching. Fun! It's fantastic. That should be our attitude. Let's get our attendance in check. Let's come to church and see what God has in store for us and see what he has prepared for us. Coming to church is fun. Amen. Coming to church is fun. Amen. Coming to church is fulfilling. Amen. Coming to church teaches us how to live. It's not spinach all the time. We have dessert too. Wow, it's so great. So don't miss an opportunity to come to church. Try not to. I understand that there's family obligations because God has made us talented people. He's made us gifted people. So sometimes we're going to have a football game. But are we going to have a football game 3 Sundays in a row? I'm just trying to say it simply because we got to prioritize a little bit. God comes first. Right? He comes first. And in that obligation, in that mandate, there's good things about it. He's not trying to put his foot on our neck. He's saying, look, I'm doing something for you, and I'm going to need you to come here and see what I'm doing. I need that to happen is what God is saying. I'm going to need you to show up. So come on over to Bethel Worship Center in Tupper's Plains and see what God's going to do. It's going to be great. He will meet you every time. And yes, like, here's a perfect example. Today, our son has a football game in Miller. Is that it? Miller. It's kind of far from here. It starts at 3 o'clock. And you know, honestly, if we weren't the praise and worship leaders, I'd be a little tempted to kind of stay at home so that we could go to the game. But I know that I cannot yield to that temptation because I don't want to miss what he's going to do. I don't want to miss somebody being delivered. Not to, and also, I don't want to miss the opportunity to join with you and sing how great he is. Because that does something in the spirit. It does something in the world when we all join together and talk about how great our God is. It does something. It's not about just me. It's about all of us at Bethel Worship Center in Tupper's Plains. So let's get our attendance in check, amen? All right, so I just hopped all over that. Hopped all over it. Okay, here we go. So God wants to use us. And something else that Apostle Mark said last week is that God delights in using his people. He thinks that that's a good time. He thinks it's a good time to use Sister Janice. Amen. He likes to see what Sister Janice is going to do. Sister Janice, look, Janice is so pretty. She's my daughter. Let's see what she's going to do today. Sister Janice, I want you to do this. And then Janice comes up and does it, and all this goodness and light happens. It's fantastic. So it's just, let's all come together and let's delight in his using us. Let's do that together. Now, Bethel is a place to hear and receive God's promises. Bethel is a place to hear and receive God's promises. And he's reminding us to bring sick and bring the addicted and bring the heartbroken. He has words for them. That's the reason why we've got to continue to expand in the prophetic. We have to continue to get better and better and better at hearing his voice so that we can say exactly what he wants to say, when he wants to say it, and how he wants to say it. Because remember, he delights in using us, right? So as we continue to learn, as we continue to grow together, he is going to use us in the lives of heartbroken, sick, and addicted people. What an honor. What a privilege. Now, we have a responsibility as Bethelites, that's us, the Bethelites, we have a responsibility to seek and speak what he wants to say to all of these people. Sometimes I think, and you know, when I hear this statement, it comes from a really good place. It really, really does. So I've heard many people say, well, he just didn't give me a word today. He didn't give me anything to say today. And what I want to ask is, did you look for one? Or are you kind of just waiting for it to like fall on you? Sometimes it does happen like that. But many times, if you seek, if you look for what he wants to say, like in the book of Habakkuk, it says, I look to hear. I look to hear. If we look to hear, we will probably hear something. And then we'll have something to say. Oh my gosh, just imagine if like everybody on this side of the congregation was looking to hear. Pretty amazing, huh? If everybody on this side was doing what this side was doing, then we would all hear a special unction, a special word from God. Let's not just wait for the prophets to speak. Let's not just wait for somebody on the praise and worship team to get a word. He desires to use all of us. That's why it's kind of really important that you be here. You see how it's all connected? And Jim's laughing, but you see how it's all connected together? When we all get together, we all praise and worship together, it opens the heavenlies. Everybody's looking to hear what the Spirit would say. Everyone's doing it. Special things. That is the perfect situation for something good to happen in the lives of people that are hurting. And it's not only about them, it's about us too. Because look, I tell you, every time Otis and I have done presbyteries over the years where, you know, we'll be at a service, and some people will call and ask us to come to a service, and we'll prophesy for 4 or 5 hours. And you would think that that would be like extremely tiring, and you know, like for me, I'm ready to eat a chair after. But what'd you say?
I was gonna say, yeah, it makes you hungry.
It does make you hungry. It really, really does. But you would think that we would just be lethargic. Oh, no. It's invigorating. It's exciting. It's exciting to be used by God because you're being used by God. Yeah, it's really that simple. It's not me. It's not Ivy who's doing it. It's not Otis who's doing it. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit through Ivy who's doing it. That's invigorating. That's exciting. What an honor. What a privilege. What an honor. What a privilege. And you know what? God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't just only want to use me. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to hear your voice. That's what he wants. There are people that will come to their deliverance because Sister Joanne spoke a word to them. There are people that will hear and receive their deliverance because Sister Joy spoke to them. Now, I could say the exact same words. I could say the exact same words. I could be in the same situation where the same thing, try to be white, even though that's not going to happen. I could try that, but because Sister Joy said it, that was the unction for that appointed time. Let him use you. It's an honor. It's a privilege, and it's so fun. It's so fun. Now, the Lord desires to say to a particular person right now. He was talking to me as I had six kids running around me. I was babysitting yesterday. And after I broke up this little argument that they were having, I was trying to break up the little argument, but I had to run to my computer and type this statement. So for this person, he says, "Don't feel that I have forgotten you. What I said to you when you were a boy, it's still there. I have not forgotten, and I've never gone to sleep on what I've said." And he's telling me to tell you that your latter days will be greater than your past. That's what he's telling me to tell you today. Your latter days, the days that are to come, will be greater than your past. That's for somebody in here today. Aren't you glad that you're here to hear it? Yay. Yeah, we can clap for that. It's exciting to be here to hear what God has to say. Hallelujah. Yeah, so praise the Lord that I was not completely distracted by the six children who thought that hitting one another with sticks was a good idea. I don't know what that's about. So next point, Bethel is a place to rest. In Genesis 28, verse 10, Jacob arrived at Bethel because he deceived his father. Jacob allowed himself to be involved in a bad situation. He really did. This situation was not orchestrated by him. It was not created by him. But he was a willing participant in this situation, and he angered his brother. Look, in Esau was wild. Esau was a hunter. And Esau was big, and he was strong, and Esau took care of business. Now, Jacob, he was smaller. I would say he wasn't as huntery, whatever you want to say that means. He wasn't as huntery. He wasn't as aggressive as Esau. And so Jacob ticked Esau off because he took his brother's blessing. He tricked his father, who was old and sick and dying at the time. He tricked his father and took his brother Esau's blessing. Esau found out about it, and ooh, he was mad. And Esau had red hair, and you know what they say about people with red hair? They can be fiery. Well, Esau was fiery. Esau was mad. And so Jacob had to run because he was finna die. Esau was coming after him. And so Jacob had to run. And so Jacob was running from this situation where he tricked his father. It was a bad situation that he played a big part in. And what God is saying through that is that we are going to, actually, we have received people who are in that very type of situation. They're running from a bad situation. They're running from a bad circumstance. And they're coming here because they feel safe here. They've told us about the bad thing that they've done because they feel safe here. We are a confidential people. Isn't that good? Isn't that great that we are mature and seasoned like that? Let's continue in that. Let's continue to mature in that. Let's continue to grow stronger in that type of maturity. What a wonderful thing that a couple that's going through a divorce can still, that those two people can still come to church here because they don't feel condemned. They don't feel like everybody's looking at them. They don't feel like everybody's coming up to them trying to get in their business. They just feel supported. They know that they can hear God's voice here. That's really good. Congratulations. Other places aren't like that. We're a special people. And the Lord just wants you to know you've done a good job in this area. And you are people that I can trust. And I'm going to bring more people like that. Continue the good deeds that you've done. Don't get in their business. Just pray. Don't get in their business. Just love them. Don't get in their business. Invite them to go to dinner. Don't get in their business. Babysit their kids so the mom can have a night off to just think. Let's continue in that type of maturity. God says that you are trustworthy. What an honor. What a privilege. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father God, right now I just want to pray and ask that you continue to develop that in us. Continue to develop that in us, oh God. Continue to just keep us mature in this area. Lord God, we come against every spirit of gossip that will try to pull us off of this path. That would try to change our behavior. Help us to move and to be your hand, oh God, in every situation, in every hurting place, and the lives of people that you have entrusted us with, in Jesus' name. Now, people are coming here because they feel like this is a place where they can be at rest, where they can feel comfortable. There's peace here. There's freedom here. When people come in here, they don't think about everything that's beating them down when they drive in their car to get here. It's enjoyable, and this is a place that's free from judgment. Glory to the name of God. Amen. Glory to the name of God. Let's continue in that. We have a big part to play in that. God can rain down peace on his people, but us with a nasty attitude and a judgmental eye could wreck it. We could wreck it. But let's continue in the maturity. Let's continue in this good behavior, in this good deed of loving people, no matter what we've seen or heard. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, Bethel is a place to dream dreams. And it breaks my heart because so many of us have allowed our dreams to die. We think that our dreams are fantasies of the young. We think that dreams are a waste of time. We think that we have gray hair and we're older and mature. And so we don't dream, or we try not to think about these things that we thought about when we were children. And the God says, uh-uh. He says, you're my kids. And those dreams are things that I have given you. They are not fantasies. They're not like little fragrances in the air that you're just catching, and they're not distractions, says God. He says, no, these are things that I have given you. These dreams are strategies, says God. These dreams are an ingenuity that he's trying to build up in his people. Allow yourself to dream again. Write those things down, and you'll see that some of us, when we write our dreams down, we'll have a business plan. Some of us, when we write our dreams down, we'll have prayers for lost people in our families. Some of us, when we write our dreams down, they will be a word of deliverance for the sick, the heartbroken, and the addicted. They're not fantasies. They're from my throne room, says God. So allow yourself to dream. And he says to believe the spectacular. Some of the dreams that we're having are just so big, they're so huge, and we don't even think that they're real. And the Lord's saying, oh, no, they're real. And I desire to do that through you and for you, says the Lord. Now, a few nights ago, I tell you, this is so odd, because I'm not really the type of person that will listen to a song over and over and over and over and over again. Well, the Lord had me listening to this particular song called Climb, and you've probably heard us in the praise and worship team. We've done it a couple of times. He had me listen to this song for like 2.5 hours, and I could not stop listening to it, and I was like, Lord, I'm sleepy. I want to go to bed, and he told me, sit down and keep listening. And so I'm listening, and I'm listening, and I'm listening, and I'm like, okay, what are you saying to us through this song? And he told me that this song should be the attitude of Bethel Worship Center. This should be our attitude for our church and for our individual lives. This is how we should carry ourselves. And the words in this song are, I know that I can trust you, so give me a heart to love you, God. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the maker of heaven. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. There's nothing I hold on to but you, Jesus. I'm so in love with you. There is no one else for me. The Lord is saying that that should be our attitude. That is the prayer for our church. Our life is in his hands. The destiny of this church is in his hands. We must align ourselves with what is in his hands. That's what we have to do. We are his house. This is where he comes to reside. This is where God comes to kick back and do whatever he desires to do. We have to enjoy that, love that, and love him and trust him enough to let him do whatever he's going to do for this church and for our lives. Let's not lean on our own understanding. Our life is in the hand of the maker of heaven. We can climb any obstacle. We can overcome any obstacle because our lives are in the maker of heaven. We have to trust that he will make something beautiful out of us, because he will, and because he has. He has. Hallelujah. He has. Bethelites are beautiful people. Bethelites are called and appointed people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's just stand, and we're just going to sing a little bit of this.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.